From Relay, this is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode number 91, recorded March the 21st, 2025, brought to you this week by Memberful. I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell, and with me is Joe Adalian of Vulture and the Buffering Newsletter. Joe, welcome back to Downstream.
I'm going to start calling you MC Snell.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, you could if you wanted to.
You could if I wanted to be really cheesy and old sounding, but yes. How are you, Jason? Thank you for having me on. As always, it is a delight to be here with you digitally.
It's great to have
this first
you back.
Day, full day of
fine.
Spring.
It is spring. Spring has sprung.
Sprung.
I was just on a podcast where somebody asked, what's your personal sign of the first day of spring? And the answer is, I woke up this morning and my eyes were itchy, so it must be spring.
Now, see, I thought you were going to say you got yourself a gun, but
allergies,
that's another.
Allergies, man.
Allergies. Oh, man.
Allergies,
I'm so sorry.
Not the Sopranos at all. I got your reference there. Reference acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Well, let's dive in. We got a lot to talk about, including you kept sending me new story ideas. It's great because Buffering, your newsletter, is so full of stuff for us to talk about that I got very excited about.
It was part of my plan to push out the any sports content you had planned, but I have a feeling I probably lost that battle.
Well, let's
because
start
we're
the sports,
all into sports ball. Yes, let's get it out of the way.
Let's do it now. We're in
yes.
sports corner now.
Play
it
ball.
Thank you. See, that's so good because I want to talk about baseball briefly because it's a thing we talk about here a lot is streaming and the streaming conversion of sports. All of these very expensive regional sports network contracts, as Downstream listeners know, were sort of built on the idea that you couldn't cancel cable because you would lose your baseball team. But now so many people have canceled cable and they're like, oh, we should probably have a product to sell them so they can watch their baseball team. And I just have a little update about that. There have been in the last week major announcements. Four more teams have announced local streaming deals. And as a result, over the last over the off season, essentially, more than twice the number of teams as last year will be available in a no blackout local streaming product. 27 of the 30 Major League Baseball teams will now have a local streaming option. The new teams are the Phillies, the San Francisco Giants, the Oakland A's. The Sacramento A's. I'll call them the Oakland A's. I don't care. They're not paying me. And the Seattle Mariners. Pricing is interesting. Three of those teams are NBC-owned RSNs, Philly and the Bay Area teams, Northern California teams, I guess I should say. And NBC has done a thing where if you're a Peacock premium subscriber, you can get the sports channel for those teams. For the Giants and the A's, it's $18 a month. Or if you want them in the MLB app, you have to pay $20 a month. So, $2 savings.
Whoa.
If you use Peacock.
If I pay, what is it, do I have to get Peacock Premium? Do I have to get the ad free?
You already need to have Peacock Premium. Just the, like
which is actually, Peacock, see, I always forget, Peacock Premium is actually the entry level.
That's not free with your cable bundle, yeah.
No, it is free with your cable bundle. Yes, that is the one. Peacock Premium, yeah.
It's the one that's not free.
There is no one that's free. It's a vestige. It's a vestigial. It's a vestigial feather from the old days of Peacock. But yes, it's Peacock Premium is actually Peacock Normal. Okay. Peacock Premium ad free is the one
right.
that has no commercials.
It's the one that I pay for.
I think Peacock Premium now is $5.95 or something.
Yeah, so
$5.95 a month. So
it basically gets you $2 off if you're in the Bay
Area.
If I
pay $5.95, so in other words,
yes.
I can save $2 by paying $6 unless I already have it. Yeah,
If you don't want Peacock, you pay $20 in Northern California for one of those channels. It's interesting because there's two channels. If you want the Giants and the A's, you have to pay twice, which is brutal.
Are these games still on over-the-air broadcast television?
Very few. I think none for the A's, and the Giants only have a handful that are over-the-air. It's all from the RSN.
Correct me when, and I don't want to derail your momentum here, but let me just ask you this.
I love you. You've got questions about sports, Joe. It's amazing.
Local TV. But when I was growing up and in the still not even a million view, not even barely 500,000 people in Las Vegas when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, we didn't have a local baseball team. Now we've got everywhere. We still don't, technically. We're soon going to have.
Maybe.
A team that shall not be named. Yes. You can keep it. I don't care. the Dodgers, for example, in Los Angeles, for most major league teams, a local station, usually an independent station, sometimes a network, would sort of have the rights to all the games, right? And that would be a big deal, that they would just all the games. Or back in the day, did you just not necessarily get your
games?
Not
all the games were on TV is originally how it went. And then they
added games. And what was wrong with that?
And but the broadcast channels didn't want their entire, 162 nights a year taken up with the baseball game. So you ended up with a scenario where you put it on a cable RSN. So yeah, they used to be on Dodgers
before
on
cable,
like,
RSNs, before that was around, like in the
KTLA.
70s and 80s, it was, yeah. And
but only probably like a couple nights. I mean, it was for the Giants, it was KTVU in Oakland, and they had the Giants on, a few. It was not 162 games. It was maybe 40. 30 games that
were
on TV.
I seem to remember there were more games than that. Maybe, okay.
I mean,
well,
it changed over time, but
yeah.
But my
point is, like, it should be at this point. The reason that we're having this whole discussion about sports is because these teams grew reliant on charging people to watch the games, and sort of it should be, you should charge people to go to the games in person, and then there should be a way, if you actually have an audience, you should be able to have advertising support it, and that just to me seems like, and if you don't have the money, well then guess what? Then the product isn't worth it. And I guess, look, you can, if people want to pay for this, that's also an option. And if they can get it, fine. But at some point, it's sort of like, I don't know. For the longest time, cable subscribers like you, like myself, who did not care about sports, were subsidizing because of ESPN, because of all these other things that were just basically part of everyone's cable subscription. If you didn't watch it, you still paid for it. The welfare state made sure that every baseball player, big baseball player, made more money, and now not. And so, you know what? Tough. If that can't be the case anymore, if there's not enough of an audience for it, well, then they either have to go to... Anyway, I'm going to shut up now because I've completely hijacked this conversation.
No, it's fine. One of the trends that we've seen, at least as an experiment, is for some teams, especially in the NBA, to partner with a local broadcast channel. Usually it's a fringe broadcast channel that doesn't have like network programming, so they don't have a lot of programming on. They're an independent. And you've just I think it's the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns games are available for streaming or over the air on that channel. And that's another way to do it. I think that a lot of times what you're seeing with Major League Baseball is they have existing regional sports network deals that continue. And so they couldn't make a deal like that right now. But what they can do, and one of the things I wanted to mention here, is this is not happening by accident. They're doing this because the commissioner of baseball has said, this is a strategic priority for us. You need to get your stuff streaming and not just on cable, which is why there are only three teams left, the Orioles and Nationals, who are locked in a kind of a death struggle over their regional sports network for another year, at which point that contract expires at the end of this season, and then we'll see what happens. And the Houston Astros, who are, I don't know what deal they have, but those are the three that have not yet announced this. So it's interesting. Another factor that we don't talk about enough here is that there are some people who are in blacked out environments where they can't see the games, but they also can't stream them on MLB TV because they're considered in market. That happens a lot. I think it happens in Vegas, actually. I think Vegas has multiple teams that want to claim Vegas as its territory, but you can't get the games there. I know that's true in Hawaii, for example, where there are a lot of California teams that want to claim Hawaii and makes it very hard to watch.
Wait a second. Now, is the reason they're thinking, well, you can just go and see these games in person?
No,
is that the reason? No.
The reason, I think, is that they want to try and strong arm cable companies into showing their games. And why would you give up territory if you don't have to? In the Midwest, I think there's a little more of that, where if you're in Iowa, everybody wants to claim you as their territory because you could theoretically drive to watch the Cubs or the Cardinals or whatever, but you won't. But this, the good news here then is that for those fans who have been utterly unable to get their favorite team because they're blacked out, 27 of 30 teams, you will be able to do that now. You can pay a monthly fee. So, again, $27.95 on Peacock, $19.99 for MLB, for the Giants and the A's. For the Phillies, it's $25 on either. I think that's hilarious that it's just the Phillies just cost more. East Coast bias.
Now,
I don't know.
Do you
in
get
Seattle, it's
every
$20.
Game that's being played, or do you just get your team?
No, it's just your team. If you want the rest of it, you have to buy the MLB at bat package, which, or MLB TV package, which you can bundle together. And in fact, you know, I love that it's on Peacock, and I'm a Peacock subscriber, but I'd probably pay the extra $2 to just get it in the MLB app where all the other games are. But, you know, again, everybody's going to have a different strategy. Also, I wanted to note, NBC made this announcement a day before the MLB announcement. I think that was a very hilarious little detail where, like, no, we get to announce it on whatever Wednesday that we're doing this on Peacock. And then on Thursday, you guys can say, also, you could just use the MLB app if you want to, because they wanted Peacock to kind of come out of the gate first. But in the end, if you're a baseball fan, it's good news, unless you're an Orioles, Nationals, or Astros fan, in the sense that you don't have to subscribe to cable or a cable equivalent over-the-top package in order to get your baseball team. You can just pay a monthly fee that's roughly $20 a month-ish, $25 in Philly, and you can just you can see your team without as a cord cutter. And it's in the long run, I think Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, wants to build a more straightforward package once he's got all 30 teams on board, where they can start loading them into the MLB app, and he can also potentially sell some of that to partners, to streamers or whoever. So there's a longer game being played, but I got to be honest, Joe, I am amazed. Like, the Dodgers are one of the teams that is now going to be streaming it this way, and the Dodgers are getting paid an enormous amount of money for their RSN rights. And I thought that, like everybody, like, that it would never come to an over-the-top streaming service, because it was just too valuable to the cable company to have people be forced to subscribe to their cable company. And there were huge carriage problems. There are parts of LA that didn't have that cable company, and so they couldn't see the Dodgers. It's sort of ridiculous. But everything is flipped over here now, where I feel like we're just in an era where there are too many people who are a potential audience who will give you money if you let them. And the whole thing of being a bulwark against cord cutting is just, it's over. So even the Dodgers are like, yeah, you can just pay us and we'll give you the games. It's fine.
I'm curious what this does to the long-term fan trends for these teams, though. I mean, the thing is, the great part to me that of about having games available in cable is that you have a wider potential audience. So if a team is hot, if it's doing well, if there's some buzz around a certain player, you can get more casual people to tune in. You get people who are sort of,
sure,
you know, who are casual in general. And it's to me, you know, if I were the newly created commissioner of baseball and television, I would essentially go for a every possible way scenario, where I would have an over-the-air option, because first of all, you know, in the days in the era of digital substations, you know, every even big stations, they have a channel 7.2, sure, right? So you can put it on there. Those tend to get a lot of them will be picked up by cable. Certainly, if there's a baseball on there, you can get the local cable operations. But people who want can still get it through antenna. If you're hardcore and you can't afford it, there are people who watch TV, people who are smarter and or less, you know, who just don't want to pay. They have learned that you can get an antenna, get it for free. So you increase people from television. But people who don't want to even bother with an antenna or don't want to bother with cable, I think that would keep some people in the cable ecosystem, because even if you're not getting an expensive cable package, it's part of your basic broadcast package.
Sure.
And then you can still have a streaming option for convenience or for super fans who want, you know, every game or something like that. And then also just basically say, we're going to adjust how much revenue we get. And these teams, maybe it means, you know, hard conversations with major league players or whatever. And, you know, this is all very Pollyannish of me, but like you're going to extend your revenue for a while. But in the long term, I think you risk like reducing the number of people who are interested in baseball even more than it already has been. And then it becomes just a special thing. And you know, you're no better off than soccer, in the U.S., which is very much a specialty sport,
that's the
although
classic,
growing.
That's a classic argument, is they want their money, but they also want exposure. Now, you know, having it on your cable system, you're paying for cable as well. But the thing is, as time goes on, fewer people are going to have traditional cable. How do you get people who are more casual fans who are not going to pay $20 a month to watch?
Well, they can get an antenna. When I say cable, if you do it on a broadcast thing that also is on cable,
that's why I like that idea, other than the fact that it will probably take until the RSN deals unwind.
Sure.
I like that as an experiment, because then you're available sort of like in very, you can get it free over the air maybe, but you may need to pay for cable or streaming or something in order to see it.
And local stations, which would, you know, they would have to pay something for the rights too, obviously, to get it, but they could sell more advertising, and they can also, like, you know, it's as much money has been sunk by these broadcasting companies into streaming, none of them have really gone the route of, like, let's get people to get antennas. Like, if there's a major education, like, I would be giving antennas away. Mm-hmm. They're not that expensive with education, and there are now devices for $100 you can get that give you an electronic program guide. You can set up a DVR. Sure. Like, if you get people into that, like, it could actually be a system. And if I were the National Association of Broadcasters, I would have been doing that 10 years ago to realize, hey, because over-the-air TV is better than ever because it's digital and because there are more channels and more options. And it's instead, everyone's just going streaming, and it's sort of like, it doesn't make any sense. I feel the same thing with radio.
I have some very large pieces of mountainous land between me and the broadcasting here, so I can't get anything over the air.
Even with digital antennas?
No, can't get anything over the air. The marine headlands are in the way. I can't do it. But yeah, it's true.
There you go.
I will also say I think we should see some experiments with FAST, with free streaming, because, mm-hmm. again, there's
same
money
thing,
to be
yeah.
made from that audience. It's sports. Yep. You can't fast forward, which means you're going to sit through commercials. There's money to be made there.
The success Tubi had with the Super Bowl, I mean, it's something like 10 million people streamed it, which is like nothing for Super Bowls, but as a huge amount for free.
I feel like this is one step of a larger process. This step is, one, all those people who couldn't even see their team can pay and see it now. Mm-hmm. And two, all the cord cutters or people who wanted to be cord cutters can do it and still keep their team. But I don't think it's a long-term health of the sport strategy to just have a $20. I mean, this is... When the Giants started showing every game, it was on a thing called Giants Vision that was very much like HBO or Showtime. It was a premium cable channel you had to pay for and get put into a decoder box in order to watch it. Like, that's great, but you're not going to make any new fans with that.
Right.
And so I think there are other pieces here, but this is them trying to address the one big problem, which is if you're not on the local cable companies tier that has these games, you literally can't see them. And now that you will be able to do it by streaming. And I'm sure there are some great stories of people out in like Iowa or what I said, you know, those places that have been blacked out, but you can't actually watch the games, which is so infuriating that is over, which is a good thing.
There have been some stations that I have been reading. I haven't read, I've seen headlines more than I've read the stories, but there are some over the air broadcast is making a comeback with some sorts of, maybe baseball
for
is
sure.
one of them, where
for
you
sure.
are seeing a best, well, you're actually seeing.
Like I said, in Phoenix, I think the Suns are doing it. There are definitely experiments where they're putting
hockey,
those broadcasts on a local TV partner instead of an RSN, because it gets you cable carriage, it gets you people who are free over the air, you're making money on the ads there, and then if somebody wants the convenience of streaming, you sell them a product for
and
that
you upgrade
whether
them.
It's $20 a month in the long run, or if it's more like, you know, 5 or 10, if you've got some things that are free, some games are free but other games you need to pay for, we'll see how they work it out. But I agree, I think that in the United States, having all of these TV stations, that most of which have very little programming of any value anymore, and
live sports makes sense,
and partnering with sports mm-hmm. in order to get the sports stuff out there to a wider audience for more advertising is a thing that they're definitely trying. We'll see how it goes. Okay, let me take a break to tell you about our sponsor. It's Memberful, and I use them every day. If you create content online, you've likely had thoughts about diversifying your income, or maybe you're just getting started and you want to engage with early members of your audience. Whatever stage you're at with content creation, Memberful is the best way to diversify your revenue stream and connect with your audience. This is what I do. Memberful lets you offer membership perks and exclusive content to your loyal followers, giving you full control over who has access to your blog posts, newsletters, online courses, podcasts, private community chats, and more. If you're listening to this, you're not a member of Downstream Plus. Downstream Plus is a Memberful membership that lets us control who gets the free version of the podcast and who gets the paid version of the podcast. And it's one of the ways that this podcast remains viable for us to do. It's easy to set up and manage your membership system with Memberful's intuitive platform. You can create multiple membership tiers and payment options that cater to your audience. And with Memberful, you'll always retain full control over your brand, your audience, and your business. That's why I picked it. I run it for The Incomparable. I run it for Six Colors. We run it for our podcast at Relay. It feels like it's my membership plan, not theirs. I get to control the user experience. It's all for me. Memberful just provides me the tools to do it my way, which is what I really like. Monetize with a partner, not a platform. Whether you're launching, growing, or switching platforms, Memberful is committed to providing exceptional support. I was talking to them today. I can vouch for this. And that's support at every stage of your journey. With Memberful, you're not just getting a tech solution. You're getting a partner. They're ready to offer personalized guidance from setup to strategy. It's all true. Go now to memberful.com/downstream and get started with Memberful today. That is memberful.com/downstream. You can try it out, run some tests, and then make it go live and start making money. It's great. Thank you to Memberful for supporting Downstream. All right. I have a listener letter. We do love to hear from you. You can go to downstreamfeedback.com. Love to hear from others. We love to hear from you. This one is from Not Daniel. That is a suspicious name. And I love this letter. It says, I recently visited Korea and I found a fascinating streaming product at a PC cafe. On the PC, you can watch any of the streaming content without a login. To do so, you click on the one you want, for example, Netflix, which launches the Netflix website, automatically logs into some random account. Available services include Netflix, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, YouTube Premium, and other Korean streaming providers. Super interesting how it auto logs into a different random account every time you launch. Not Daniel, sounds super sketchy. I think they may be pirating Netflix, but it's I just find this really funny. Like, sure, come spend your presumably metered time at this internet cafe watching free Netflix from who knows what account. Now, maybe they pay for some accounts and all that, but I bet they don't. I don't know.
That just sounds weird. But more to the point, there are still PC cafes?
Apparently.
Like, do people not just have phones where they just, like, well, yeah. Who's going? Like, I'm having flashbacks to my trip to Europe in 1999 to go to the Cannes TV Fest. Not the film festival Cannes, but, like, having to go to London to check my email.
Yeah,
remember those days? It was so wild and weird.
Absolutely. In the early 2000s, I went to the UK in 2000, and I went into an internet cafe in the Lake District. And in 2004, I was in Amsterdam, and I went to an internet cafe in Amsterdam. An internet cafe, Joe.
Is that what they call it? Internet cafe? Yes.
And,
was the red light on in the internet cafe?
Check my email. My baseball box scores back.
You downloaded some stuff. Okay.
Sure. Anyway, thank you, Not Daniel. And that was a weird letter, but I like it.
Although I wonder, is there some sort of weird thing where, like, could you do something where, like, a bunch of people form a collective where they all sort of, like, randomly, like, you can, like, be a guest login? Like, is some of these things kick you off and, like, I don't know.
You're kind of describing college kids, right? Where, like, everybody's got a different...
And everyone's sharing.
I think one of my daughter's former roommates is still on my Peacock and... and Max accounts, because they just hand those passwords around. But it's fine. I was going to say a funny thing that I noticed. When I was on vacation, I stayed at a hotel that one of their features of their hotel was in-room Netflix. I thought, it was like, oh, that's hilarious. It's like the classic in-room HBO.
Right.
But it's Netflix, and I got there, and we stopped paying for Netflix, right? Which is why I haven't watched John Mulaney, as I'm taking a little break from Netflix. Although
that's
I may go back just to watch it and pay for the ad tier and whatever. But anyway, I was like, oh well, but I could see what's on Netflix while I'm here, and I press the button, and Netflix comes on the TV, and it says, "Great, we have Netflix, but you'll need to use your account to watch." And I'm like, well, you just have a Netflix app.
You have a browser.
You don't have Netflix.
What did you pay for that Netflix app?
What are you talking about? What is this?
Oh my lord!
Boo!
Very, very.
I should have gone to Korea with Not Daniel and watched as much as I wanted. All right. I like to end with TV picks, which are things that we are liking that you might want to watch if you are looking for something to watch. Joe, do you have a TV pick for me?
You know, I forgot to create one, but I'll just say, I mean, we've already mentioned The Pitt, both of us, so you should be watching The Pitt. It's coming towards the finale. It's great. If you haven't watched the season of Severance, now's the time. Yep. You can watch the full season. The finale was just one of the most gorgeous, beautiful things I've seen on TV in a long time. I mean, that really is an operative word, especially the last 15 minutes of the episode. But there's, it. You know, if Ben Stiller doesn't win for directing, then there's no justice in the world, because I can't imagine anything else topping that direction job. But it's a great show. It's a weird show. You have to like your stuff weird. You know, there are, you especially saw this season, you know, it was, God, so many flashbacks to Lost or How I Met Your Mother, mm-hmm. where you've seen the internet debate between people like, I want the answers and I want them now and I want them the way I want them. And how come you're stringing me along? And then you have people like me who are just like, I'm there for the ride. Like Ben Stiller, the creator of the show, whose name I can never remember, which is a shame for him.
Oh, Dan Erickson is his name. But thank he's like you. A first time showrunner. Yeah.
Yes. I will know his name. Dan, much respect to you, because I know this is not all Ben Stiller's mind. He should not Bigfoot you. He just got it made with the Netflix, with the Apple money. But you know, they've created this weird, wonderful thing, and I'm there for the journey. Like, I don't know that it's all going to make sense in the end. Some of the stuff last night was equally also just sort of randomly weird and like almost comical, but in a good way, and weird, and that's fine. I'm just in this crazy world. It feels like almost Lynchian, a director's mm-hmm. an independent film from the 90s. I'm there for it, and it's great, and it's getting a lot of viewers for Apple, at least. And yeah, so definitely get yourself Apple TV. It really is the best money you can spend on streaming these days.
Yeah,
even if every show doesn't work, it's just good catalog stuff now.
I mean, probably most of our listeners have tried it, but like, there's a really great catalog of stuff on Apple TV Plus. If you get a month of it, even watch Severance, and then go from there. There's Slow Horses, For All Mankind is great. Ted Lasso is great. Shrinking is great. There's like, they got comedies, they got dramas, lots of great sci-fi on there. Like, just, there's a lot of good stuff.
And they're always trying new things. There are people out there who still say, it needs a library, it needs this. No, it doesn't. I'm glad that there's something that invests just in original content.
It's got a pretty good library now after 5 years. Yeah. So, you know, they spent all
but
their
money.
But, you
know, I don't need reruns of stuff. You know, the only one thing I would say that they probably should do that would be good is, like, rather than spend all this money on making movies, I would just have found a way to do an output deal so that they can, you know, the way HBO did back in the day or Showtime did, just have studios so that 2 or 3 months later, they've got recent movies. You know what?
I agree. They've experimented with related movies related to things they're doing. It's like, they should do more like that, because I think that works really well.
But I think do something that's more current movies. Like, do one of those pay one output deals, spend $1 billion, whatever it is, but like, you'll get like, they should have done the A24 deal, honestly. I think that was dumb of them not to, but anyway.
So, those are good picks.
What are you watching?
I'm going to mention, the stuff that I've been watching, I think the two best shows on TV right now are what you said, The Pitt and Severance. They're great. I was trying to come up with something that I haven't picked yet, and it's hard because I don't watch enough TV to pick a brand new show every single week. I just don't. That's not how TV works for me. But here's one that I have watched some of and am still slowly going through that I really like. It's The Outlaws. It's on Prime Video. Speaking of British content, this is Stephen Merchant. Christopher Walken is in it. Speaking of Severance, it's a drama, but it's also funny in that British way, about a bunch of people who are doing community service work, and they stumble into other crimes, and they become embroiled in criminal activity by accident. I mean, like I said, Stephen Merchant, I think, created it and is one of the stars. He did The Office with Ricky Gervais, obviously.
Not the Merchant of Merchant Ivory, obviously.
Not the other one. The other Merchant.
That'd be a very different show.
Very different. This is just...
We're bringing us back to quality tall, British drama.
Tall, awkward fellow, Stephen Merchant. And it is... it's a lot of fun. A lot of people haven't heard about it. I think it's 3 seasons. They're British seasons, so they're fairly short. I think it wraps up its whole story in those 3 seasons. It's started and finished now. And yes, if you'd like to see the other show where Christopher Walken's agent said, this might be a fun thing for you to do other than Severance, it's The Outlaws. And it's really good. So that's my recommendation this time.
By the way, one other recommendation. I am also enjoying the current season of White Lotus. I finally binged the first five episodes. I had been behind on it. And it's just, again, it's also a weird little show in its own way and very much in the mind of its creator, Mike White. But it's rich people having nervous breakdowns. Sure, why not?
Why not?
I'm there for it.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show. If you are not a Downstream Plus subscriber, you might have missed some good talk about British TV and Looney Tunes and Max's calculations and David Zaslav's bad but also good decisions, and a lot about Netflix, John Mulaney, and deep thoughts about how TV could in the streaming era could learn from the broadcast era. Every other episode, more or less, you get only part of the show. If you don't support us, go to downstream.plus and you can get the full version of every episode, access to our excellent Relay Discord, bonus shows from Relay, and a whole lot more. If you have a question or suggestion for us, of course, downstreamfeedback.com. We love to hear from you. You can find me at sixcolors.com, and I appear at many podcasts at Relay and theincomparable.com. You can find Joe over at Vulture, and you should subscribe to the Buffering newsletter because it's very good. Very
and
good.
Find me on Blue Sky at TV Mojo, MOJOE.
Absolutely. You can find me on Blue Sky as well, if you like, snell.zone. That's what I am. Thank you to everybody for listening to Downstream. We really appreciate it, and we will see you next time.